This episode of the Future of Work podcast is brought to you by ServiceNow. Today's workforce expects consumer-grade service experiences, but HR is too busy manually responding to repetitive employee inquiries, leading to lengthy resolution times and frustrated workers. With ServiceNow, you make service delivery more efficient for HR and provide fast, personalized employee service, even for cases that require action from other departments. This year, Forbes also named ServiceNow the world's number one most innovative company. I've also personally known Pat Waters, who's the chief talent officer at ServiceNow for several years, and I'm always impressed and inspired by the work she's doing in the HR space. According to their CEO, John Donahoe, not only is ServiceNow helping to make the world of work work better for people, but they're leading by example in using their own technology and platform to drive a truly digital and employee-centric experience within their organization. You can learn more by visiting servicenow.com/HR. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter to get access to the podcast episodes right when they are released, along with transcripts, free training videos I create, and a bunch of other fun stuff. You can do that at thefutureorganization.com/newsletter.
There's so much change as we live through this digital revolution, which in so many respects is just beginning. So every business is racing to keep up. And a big part of that for us is not leaving anyone behind. That means not just investing in technology and tools, but investing in our people. And ensuring that everyone, and when I say everyone, I mean everyone, has an opportunity to upskill for this digital economy, for this digital revolution that we're living through.
That's Mike Fenlon, Chief People Officer at PwC, where he has worked for over 13 years. In 2016, Mike was recognized as one of the 100 most creative business leaders in the world by Fast Company. He was also a lead faculty member of the executive education team for custom and open enrollment programs at Columbia Business School that was ranked number one in the world by the Financial Times. Our conversation today revolves around PwC's innovative digital accelerator program that is focused on upskilling thousands of their employees via a digital fitness app, events, training, and coaching. I've been fortunate to be a part of this program and have been able to witness firsthand how it works. A few months ago, I had Tim Ryan, the CEO of PwC in the United States, on the podcast, but in this episode, I wanted to specifically focus on the Digital Accelerator program and go into depth on how PwC is upskilling their employees. In this episode, you will hear how the program was created, specifically how it works, how PwC keeps managers from falling back into old habits, and how the program impacts not just employees, but the business community as a whole. I hope that this episode will give you ideas that you can bring back into your organization so that you can upskill your employees.
The agenda I've discussed has nothing to do with age. Nothing. I've tried to emphasize the importance of approaching this with absolute inclusion, for example, across our workforce. And digital acumen is a lifelong endeavor. So sure, are there digital natives out there? Yes. But this is an agenda for all of us, and it's one where we're never done. So that's been the beauty of the digital fitness app. Sure, we have to meet people where they're at, given their interests, their skill, their knowledge base. But even for those who have little background, whether they're, and that might be an entry-level employee in our firm or someone who's at a very advanced stage of their career, there's no barrier to starting. And I think that's it, is just finding the right entry, the right door to open, the right area of interest, whether that, we've talked about some of those topics around digital fitness. So it might mean, so for example, if I'm really interested in design thinking, if that's really most relevant, maybe I'll never be a coder. Fine. The message is not that we all have to become software engineers. The message is we do all have to be digitally fit, and that's true at every stage of our career.
This is Jacob Morgan, best-selling author, speaker, and futurist. Welcome to the Future of Work podcast, where every week I speak with C-level executives, business leaders, and authors to explore how the workplace is changing and what the future of work is going to look like. The goal of this show is to give you the insights, the ideas, and the inspiration to help future-proof your career and your organization. If you want to get access to more content, such as podcast transcriptions and information on working with me or having me keynote your next event, you can visit thefutureorganization.com. If you get a few seconds, please rate the podcast on iTunes or whatever your preferred channel is. It really helps the show, and I personally appreciate it since the podcast does take quite a bit of effort to produce. In case you are interested in sponsoring the podcast or working with me, my email is jacob@thefutureorganization.com. Lastly, I launched a new community called The Future If, which is a network of business leaders, authors, and futurists, some of whom are podcast guests, who explore what our future can look like if certain technologies, ideas, approaches, and trends actually happen. Each week, we explore a new topic, which ranges from autonomous vehicles, AI and automation, leadership and management, biohacking, and anything and everything in between. If you want help figuring out hype from reality and are interested in having deeper conversations about the future, then I encourage you to visit thefutureif.com. Thanks for coming along on this journey, and I hope you enjoy the Future of Work podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Future of Work podcast. My guest today is Mike Fenlon, the Chief People Officer at PwC. Mike, thanks for joining me.
Great to be with you, Jacob.
So we had the opportunity to first meet a couple of weeks ago in Orlando as a part of your Digital Accelerator program, which we'll talk about, which, by the way, is one of the coolest programs I've seen any company do. But before we talk about all those different types of details, why don't you give people some background information about you? So how did you get involved being a Chief People Officer? How did you get involved with PwC?
Sure, happy to, and it's great to be with you here today. Well, I didn't grow up saying to myself, I want to be a Chief People Officer one day.
You didn't?
Actually, the title to my certainly did not exist when I was born, and for most of my life, I'm guessing it probably didn't exist per se. So I grew up in, I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Wisconsin. I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, and
I was just in Wisconsin yesterday, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, I literally just flew back at 1 o'clock in the morning from Madison.
Well, that's great. I've lived in Madison. I grew up closer to Lake Michigan. And, you know, I suppose early in my life, I had a couple different interests. One was in religion, politics, psychology. Those were all shaped by my family experience, growing up in an Irish Catholic family. And ultimately decided that I was really interested in the kind of difference I could make within businesses, within organizations, really. In terms of leadership and helping other people fulfill their potential, and maybe that theme of fulfilling potential is an important one to me. So I moved to New York City after college and never left, and spent a lot of time actually at Columbia University in leadership roles, teaching as a student, and. Really focused then my interests ultimately around organizations and leadership and how to build great teams and great organizations. Those were things that I still to this day am passionately interested in.
And how'd you get hooked up with the PwC? Have you been at the company for a long time and in this role for a long time?
Well, you know, I joined over a decade ago. I had spent, after I did a PhD actually at Columbia, and was never planning on joining PwC, but I was approached by some colleagues who were building a practice in the area of strategy and change, and that was really interesting to me. I spent some time consulting in that space, actually then left what was then the old PW, and spent time again at Columbia, teaching, leading MBA programs, doing executive education, and then somewhat out of the blue, I'd never planned on it, was again approached after spending almost a decade, I think, at Columbia, with an opportunity. The firm was looking for a people strategy leader at the time. This is over a decade ago, and that led to a lot of discussions, and I was excited by the opportunity and joined the firm.
And now here you are.
Here I am.
So I guess for people that are not familiar with PwC, maybe you can give us a bit of background information about the company. So how many employees are there and what do you guys do?
Well, we have about, in the U.S., we have about 50 to 55,000 people, including if you include our interns. We hire a large number of interns every year, and we provide, we really take a one firm approach. So we have a diverse set of capabilities and expertise. You might associate that with obviously accounting and assurance of financial statements, auditing, but also tax services, tax consulting, and a very, very large advisory consulting business. So that includes everything from strategy through execution, technology consulting, risk. So it's a very, very diversified set of expertise and practices, which is, I think, one of the things that makes it exciting for our people, that, you know, an opportunity to learn from a range of skills and experiences and perspectives and bring that to bear in solving really complex, challenging issues for our clients.
And I think around the world, you guys have a couple hundred thousand people, don't you?
That's right. We operate in approximately 158 countries around the world.
Wow.
Almost everywhere. So we're a very large network of firms. And that, too, lends an element, for example, for our people, for additional opportunity, working with people across borders, countries, nationalities, and bringing really the best talent to bear against really challenging, compelling opportunities with our clients.
As an executive at PwC, what does your day look like? So maybe you can walk us through from the time you wake up to the time you get to work. What is a typical day like in the life of Mike Fenlon?
You know, I don't know that there's a typical day in the sense that I do travel a lot. We operate across, for example, the entire country, and it's important for me to be out, to be engaged with our people, to be meeting with our clients. I really work hard. I think it's very easy to work hard at staying connected. In other words, as we all know, to be consumed with the things that just demand our time at the moment versus, you know, just being very deliberate about making sure I'm spending time listening to the experience our people are having, for example, in our teams, serving our clients, across our offices, and at the same time, constantly learning, constantly getting great ideas. So it really does vary. You and I last saw each other in Orlando. I was there for our accelerator program. We can talk about that. But that was similarly a fantastic opportunity, not just to participate in a learning experience, but to spend time with so many of our people and just have some great discussions around the experience we're having in our firm.
It was definitely a lot of fun, and you guys are embarking on a very interesting program. So maybe we can dive right into that, because I think a lot of companies listening can learn quite a bit from this huge effort that you guys are doing. So maybe we can start with very high level of what is the Digital Accelerator program, and maybe why did you even decide to do this kind of a program inside of PwC?
Yeah. A great question, the why. The why is so important. And I'm going to step back for just a second, because I think, in a sense, this isn't just about PwC or even the broader business community. This is about our society, right? There's a lot of discussion right now and some anxiety, too, about feeling left behind, people feeling left behind, about divisions in our society. There's so much change as we live through this digital revolution, which in so many respects is just beginning. So every business is racing to keep up. And a big part of that for us is not leaving anyone behind. That means not just investing in technology and tools, but investing in our people and ensuring that everyone, and when I say everyone, I mean everyone, has an opportunity to upskill for this digital economy, for this digital revolution that we're living through. So it, for us, it really starts very broad and saying, you know, we've got, you know, I don't know if you wear them. A lot of people wear fitness trackers, for example, watches that track your steps, your movement. Well, just like we're focused on fitness, we need to be digitally fit. So it's not just a matter of being physically fit, but digitally fit if we're going to achieve our individual potentials in the 21st century. And that's an agenda for everyone. So for us at our firm, we've done a couple things. One is we actually created an app. We couldn't find anything in the market. We created an app that all of our people have access to. And that gives me an immediate base of feedback on my level of digital fitness, and then connects me to learning assets, whether those are learning about blockchain or AI or drones or IoT, you know, across really the vast domain across digital tech-related tech skills. So that's an agenda for all of our people, and it's one we're driving really aggressively, not leaving anyone behind. Obviously, I have to opt in, too. I have to take responsibility for my development. So that's part of the conversation, too. So it starts with that, you know, if you're thinking of like almost a cake, that's really the base level of the cake, right? The foundation, the first tier, first layer of that cake. But then we have other investments around fast tracking some of our people who are particularly motivated. And the accelerator program is a great example of that. Would it be helpful if I sort of walked you through some of the kind of the life cycle of the program and the experience?
Yeah, maybe we can start with the high level overview, and then I'm actually taking notes while you're going over this. So I have already lots of follow up questions, but yeah, let's start with the high level overview, and then we can talk about some of the details like how the app works, the life cycle, how you created it, all that sort of stuff. Unless you're already done giving the high level overview piece.
Yeah, that's kind of the frame. I wanted to start with that point, that I think it's an important point, that this has got to be an inclusive agenda. And it's not about picking winners and losers, people who will have a future versus those who will be increasingly, you know, less relevant, quote unquote. It's very important, I think, and this is, goes to a fundamental, you know, these are our values inside of PwC. This is an inclusive agenda for all of our people. So it starts there. And by the way, there really is no opting out, because we're moving from a period of time where technology, digital expertise was viewed as the domain of, certain professions, engineers, obviously. And others, technologists. Well, really, every domain of life and business certainly is being transformed. And that has implications for all of us. That's both exciting, but it can be anxiety producing as well. So our agenda is a very comprehensive one, and it's about engaging all of our people on this journey. And then on top of that, we've got some fast track programs, and the accelerators is one of those.
So let's start even before all that was created. So it sounds like PwC as a company realized that this concept of digital upskilling was important. You saw that the world was changing, how we work is changing, and you guys collectively said, we got to figure out something to make sure our people don't get left behind. So who was it that made that decision? Because I'm assuming you need approval right? I mean, executives need to come together. It probably costs a lot of time and money to build this. So who was the team that was responsible for driving this? How did that aspect of it work?
That's great. Well, the short answer is Tim Ryan, our chairman, is the personal sponsor of this agenda.
Who was also a podcast guest.
That's right. And so you know Tim. And so he is the personal sponsor, deeply, deeply involved. This goes to the core of our business and our people strategy. It starts there. But, you know, we have one of the benefits of one of the beauties of a firm like PwC is that we've got innovation occurring across our firm. It's not as if it's some sort of central command and control culture. So our teams, our people are innovating constantly. And in some of our practices, groups had developed kind of these fast track programs. And they were called different things. But we were seeing that individuals with virtually no background at all, for example, in this space, in a short period of time, could become equipped with tools and new skills and could have really tremendous impact, and that it was very motivating, very engaging. It was a stretch in an exciting way for so many of our people. Our leadership team then developed a vision, for example, that included this accelerator program. And that's it's a fast track program. It was a competitive process. So we had people raise their hand. It wasn't, no one was quote unquote, you know, assigned to do this. We wanted to open it up and actually just see how many people would raise their hand. We had thousands, and we selected then the first cohort. The program you attended was really the kickoff to that particular cohort. And the training program is a very personalized approach. And this mirrors our overall approach to digital fitness, by the way. So personalized in the sense that it starts with an assessment. It gauges what are my interests? What are the areas I want to focus on? What would be most relevant for my practice area in terms of skills and knowledge? And then it's a customized a learning experience. It's also a very holistic one. So when we use the phrase digital fitness, we're not just referring to, well, I'm going to go out and learn how to do data analytics, statistics and analytics. I'm not visualize data or create bots. Yes, you'll learn to do all those things, but you're also going to learn about design thinking. You're going to learn about you're going to deepen your skills in collaboration and teamwork and leading innovation. You're actually going to spend time thinking about how to be a really inclusive leader, because that's critical to being an influencer and to driving and for driving innovation and for getting the very best ideas. An environment where all of our people can fulfill their potential. So the curriculum starts with a focus on actually design thinking, digital storytelling, leadership skills. It includes kind of a deep dive on data, how to structure data, clean data, how to do analytics using tools, Alteryx, Tableau, how to drive automation of processes, how to create bots. And for some, they'll go on for more advanced training, for example, in AI and our other areas. So it starts with an onboarding program. That's what you experienced on Orlando. There's an intensive deep dive immersive experience. It's relatively short, but, you know, think about 10 days. And then I'm quickly, and this is an important feature of the program, I'm quickly assigned to teams where I'm applying what I'm learning in real time. And each week I'm part of a cohort that's continuing to have protected time for skill building. And the social aspect of this, the team aspect, I think is really important, because we're sharing what we're learning, we're sharing roadblocks, we're sharing bots that we're creating. So that's a very important, that community aspect of this, I think, is very important as well. So it started with some innovation in our businesses that we recognized was working really well. And We refined the thinking into this accelerator fast track program. We designed a process where people could raise their hand and apply. And then it builds with a formal onboarding, an immersive experience, and then learning on the job.
Let's talk about how the program or how this aspect of it was launched. So it sounds like you guys created the program. First step, it sounds like, was you built this app, this digital assessment app that I'm assuming you launched to, I suppose, all the employees in the United States or a subset of them. And
The app actually is part of that first layer of the cake I was talking about. In other words, leave nobody behind and give everyone access to learning assets. So the app does a couple things. It gives me immediate feedback on my base of knowledge. And then it connects me to all of our learning resources. And, you know, you might be interested in deepening your expertise in blockchain. I might have different interests. Maybe I want to pursue and dig into design thinking, user experience, AI. Maybe I want to get into coding. Maybe what's most relevant for me at this moment is data visualization. So first, there's a baseline of knowledge that we think is important for everyone in the 21st century. You know, a baseline of digital acumen. But then on top of that, we ask our people to pursue their interests. What's most relevant for your role? So that's for everyone. The Digital Accelerator Program is for a subset of our people who have raised their hand. And this year we'll put well over 1,000 people through that experience. Others will go through other types of fast track programs, not as intensive, but digital academies, training in specific tools and the like.
Got it. So I'm really curious about the app. So you open up the app. I'm assuming it's actually I downloaded the app. I was shown the app. You can find it on the Apple Store on iTunes, just like with any other app. You download it. You enter some information, and then it sounds like you go through a series of questions, right? And these questions will ask you about various technical things, and then it gives you kind of an assessment of what your fluency is on various topics. Is that roughly how it works?
Oh, that's right. You go through a short quiz. By the way, version 2.0 will be released in just a few days. We're excited about that, based on a lot of user feedback, so some new functionality. But what you described is right. I go through a relatively short assessment. I get feedback on my base of knowledge. I actually get a score, and that over time enables some comparison as well. And I can move that score. It's dynamic. If I just take the assessment and do nothing, over time that score degrades, kind of like a credit score. But if I take action, so if I engage in learning, if I do quizzes that are found in the app, if I deepen my knowledge in data analytics, or in any of the other areas we were talking about, my score will improve over time. And we're also building in a social dimension, more gamification as well.
So you get your score, and do you assess everybody that takes the app in like 10 different categories or skills, or is it kind of like a choose your own adventure? Because I'm thinking if I open up the app now and you want to assess my, or I want to assess my own fluency on blockchain and AI and bots and data visualization, that's probably a lot of questions that you need to ask me. So do you just ask like 100 questions that ask about all different technical skills?
No, the initial assessment is shorter, and it includes as well not just domain knowledge, whether that's cybersecurity or user experience, AI or the like, but also, am I committed, for example, do I have a growth mindset? So am I actively diversifying my network of relationships, right? Am I curious? Am I actively seeking out opportunities to learn and to stretch? Do my relationships reflect that? So it's also about mindset and behavior and relationships. Again, it's intended to be a holistic assessment, not simply about my content knowledge of design thinking, though it connects me then with assets that will deepen my knowledge in those areas, and then short quizzes as well, which are both a way of gauging my progress, but also a way of learning too.
What happens next? So you open up the app, you take the assessment, you get the score on your, or I guess you get your assessment evaluation on these various topics. And what's the next step? What's the next process after that?
Well, it gives me this personalized assessment. And you and I may have very different interests, right? So it's not a cookie cutter approach at all. It's intended to be a very personalized digital training and skills plan that it really helps you create for yourself. Now, we may decide, let's say we're in a team together. We may take it together, and we may decide, you know, what would be most relevant for our team is to deepen our knowledge on blockchain or deepen our knowledge on AI or to develop our skills with a data visualization tool and then start to apply it. So it's not meant to be an academic exercise per se, but rather to give you a rapid base of feedback on your knowledge, your skills, your behaviors, and then connect you with learning assets. And I use that word broadly. That could be an article. It could be an actual course. It could be an online learning experience that will then deepen your skills. The quizzing then will actually move your score over time. It also provides a baseline from an organizational standpoint, right? Over time, you can get a sense of what themes are, where interests lie, where there might be gaps and the like, depending on what you know the priorities are for your team. So it's really meant to be a personal and a fun experience, one that's very tied to your own personal interests and priorities.
In the content that you serve up for employees. Oh man, there's a terrible echo there. Do you hear that?
I'm okay on my end.
Okay. So the content that then you serve up to employees after they take this assessment, you might say, hey, here are some articles or links to YouTube videos or internal PwC resources on something like blockchain. And so the employee will go through all of that information and kind of check it off that they did that. And then I'm assuming their score or their fluency increases after they complete those things?
That's it. It's dynamic. So over time, and this is partly the notion of digital fitness, right? You're never done. I'm never done. Nobody's ever done in the 21st century. So just as when you think about what does it take to fulfill my potential? Well, I need to be physically fit, well, I need to be mentally well, emotionally, spiritually, which is all part of our agenda as well. But I also need to be digitally fit, and that goes to habits. So just as I might think about building habits around mindfulness, building habits around my physical well-being, my emotional well-being, well, these are habits I need to build around my digital fitness. So that means I'm never done. Having a curious growth mindset, and investing, challenging myself to deepen my knowledge and my skills, and we found when you personalize it, when it's also done in the context of a community, the community inside of our firm teams, there can be a lot of fun with this, a lot of energy. And it's also then an opportunity to really secure my future, right? So, just as every business is wrestling with the, you know, how do I keep up with the innovation, the disruption that's occurring? The same thing is true for us as individuals. And so this is a means of really securing my future and creating opportunities.
And I love the program. And, I mean, how you guys are integrating that into the real world stuff is great. So my understanding was that everyone has access to the app, and then you put out a call for volunteers for these digital accelerators, and you basically asked employees to step forward. They didn't know much about the program or what was going on or what they would get, but you kind of said, look, do you want to be a digital accelerator? Maybe give some high-level information. And then employees had to volunteer. They answered some questions. And then you picked, what is it, around 1,000 people, and then you hosted this kind of launch in Orlando that I was fortunate enough to be a part of. And we did two together, and we have one more in October. And the whole space theme and the way that you guys integrated all of, I mean, just the whole experience was really amazing. But maybe you can talk a little bit about how you recruited people to be part of the Digital Accelerator program and what that process was. Because I thought that was also very, very interesting.
Yeah, it was. And it was learning for us as well. You know, one of the things that we've done on my own team, for example, we created a new role called Digital Talent Leader. My colleague, a PwC partner, Sarah McInerney, who you've met, serves in that role. She and another leader on my team, Rod Adams, developed this application process and then worked with all of our businesses. It was a very formal process, right? So this is real. This is a serious opportunity. It's a serious investment. And it was about motivation. We wanted to know who really was the most motivated to take on this level of challenge, to really invest and push themselves and be stretched. So people put their you know, were able to raise their hands. It was it's an all volunteer force. And we went through then a thoughtful selection process for this first cohort. And then people are going through in cohorts, in groups, and in teams, again, to create this sense of community and shared experience and to really accelerate the learning as well. After they go through an immersion, and that the experience you were part of in Orlando was part of that immersion, really quickly then, I'm out there with our teams. So I'm continuing to learn. There's a formal curriculum over the course of the year that I'm engaging in with other accelerators. But now I'm part of a team serving clients or working on projects inside of our firm. And by the way, these accelerators come from all parts of our firm, including, you know, HR, finance, marketing, as well as all of our client service practices. And they're immediately then applying skills and also sharing those sense of helping others learn and build their digital acumen. So they're really meant to be a catalyst. It's not simply a role where you're getting training and then you're doing statistical analysis on something. It's a broader role. And ultimately, we all have to be accelerators. There is no other path, I think, in the 21st century and in the economy we're in. We all have to be accelerators. But this was an opportunity for people to raise their hand and really receive fast-track investment in their development.
And now let's take 90 seconds to hear from our sponsor, ServiceNow, and their Chief Talent Officer, Pat Waters.
Every company has an employee experience, those intentional and those organically created. For CHRO, you start by crafting your vision and you look at those moments that matter. They look at what is the business problem or opportunity they're trying to achieve, and they craft their talent strategies to not only achieve that goal, but actually to set themselves apart differentially in the marketplace to attract great talent. What I like to look at with my peers is how do you automate the processes that are repetitive? How do you create insights into tools and technology that allow me to think ahead, not two steps, maybe five steps? How do we create tools that create less friction for me as an employee that makes me free up opportunity and time to do things that I love to do? That is changing the way people do work. CHROs are helping redefine how talent works today. The benefits of intentionally crafting an employee experience is high. It's retention, it's engagement, it's better productivity, it's unlocking discretionary effort. So if you free up some of my time, you know, and I'm excited about my job and my work and collaborating, then I'm going to use that extra cycle to help others be successful. If you don't do that, you will lose that talent that you crafted for such a long time. The most successful CHROs today are looking around the corners, and I can't wait to see what they find.
If you want to learn more, please visit servicenow.com/HR. And now back to the podcast. I also really love the message that you guys had at the events, which was that if you go back to your offices after you go through this program and a manager or one of your peers or somebody says, hey, that's great that you went through this. Can you go back to the old way of doing things? That you actually encouraged your employees to say, no, I'm sorry. I can't go back to the old way of doing things. We got to do things in a new way. And you actually shared the contact info of several of your executives. And you said, look, if somebody at the company asks you to go back to the old way of doing things, email Joe, email Mike, email Sarah, and we will show up and we will fix it and make sure that your team and your managers know that we're not going back to the old way of doing things. And that's a commitment that I rarely ever hear a company actually make. And so I really love that message of just really pushing employees to not going back to the old way of doing things, because that can easily be something that we fall in the trap of doing, right? We go through these cool programs, then we go back to the work, and it's kind of like, you know, it was a great program, but now I'm doing the same thing that I always used to be doing.
It's a classic trap in so many organizations where, and I can give you other examples outside of this digital agenda that we've learned from, where we go off and we get fantastic. We might have a fantastic experience. We learned this lesson, for example, around well-being and flexibility and changing our culture, where we were sending hundreds of our people, thousands, to truly a world-class experience around well-being. But then they come back to a team where no one else has gone through that experience, and there are very, very established ways of doing things, maybe not the level of receptivity you'd hope, and it really is kind of a defeating experience. So we've learned to, over the years, we've learned a lot from that. So, for example, on well-being, just last year, we've learned it really lives in the DNA of our team. So we held actually a competition, and we asked all of our teams across our firm to create plans around how they would incorporate habits that promote well-being, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual well-being. And we had a habit bank that people could contribute to and learn from. We had over 5,000 teams submit plans with measurable goals. This was just this past year. Again, Tim Ryan served as a personal champion of this, and that I'll come back to that in a moment. The point I'm making here is what you just said. There have to be ways of bridging traditional training and education, whether that's e-learning or whether that's a conference you're going to, or a retreat. And how do you get it into the DNA? That's a question so many executives wrestle with. So we took what we had learned over the years and have applied that both in around our well-being agenda. We call it Be Well, Work Well. But then also around digital upskilling. And to your point, we're asking our people to be these accelerators, to be disruptive in the best sense, right? To challenge us, to challenge me, right? To challenge our leadership, but then also established ways of doing things within our teams. And I think that is one of the keys. It's having leadership alignment and be willing to listen, to be curious, to be open-minded, to be surprised, and to really support these individuals that we're asking to accelerate the growth, to accelerate the development of our people.
Is it true that also part of the program, you actually encourage employees to spend less time with clients, less billable time with clients, and they spend a portion of that billable client time learning stuff? Is that true as well?
Well, not quite in that sense. The roles are very diverse. So that there is no one accelerator role. They're going out to teams that are engaged. Some of those teams are involved with internal processes. right? So I have, for example, we have accelerators that we're assigning to our recruiting processes, looking at the experience our candidates have. That's one example. Others may be looking at other internal processes in finance, for example. Others will be working directly on our client team. So it really is quite diverse in terms of the applications across our firm.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of different accelerators and in different programs all over the place. Now, I'm assuming that this kind of stuff isn't cheap to do, right? I mean, it takes time. It takes a lot of energy to build these things, to create these things, the commitment from employees to do it. And so the other message that I was really struck by is I think somebody was asking, what's the strategy for PwC? And I think it was Joe that said, you're the strategy for PwC. You the people, these digital accelerators, you guys are the strategy for PwC. You are what we're betting on to help make sure that we can future-proof the company. So can you talk a little bit about that and what that means for you guys as far as having your people be that core strategy?
Investing in our people is at the heart of our strategy. Really, our business strategy and people strategy are one and the same in that way. And it's an important message, not leaving anyone behind, investing in all of our people, creating at the same time really special opportunities for people who are very motivated to fast track and go even faster. So, you know, in this 21st century, I don't know of any, there are very few companies, probably very few executives who'd say they're moving too fast, that most are saying, how do I keep up? How do I move faster? How do I drive innovation? How do I drive a more digital experience for my customers, my clients? How do I transform processes with technology and create just a better user experience, both for our people internally, our employees, but then also our customers? So it's a tremendously exciting agenda. And I think that's what you're getting at here. It really lines up then with what our clients are asking for as well. So one example for, some of our, in some areas of our practice, some of our people would say that in accounting, for example, that some of the work is more repetitious than they wished, right? One of the exciting things, as much as in our society there's debate about dystopian and utopian visions of the future relative to automation and technology, we're really bullish and optimistic. We just see the experience our people are having is getting better and better, and it involves upskilling. It involves more use of our own abilities to both be analytic, be creative, be collaborative, to work in teams. It's also about that human difference. So it's not just a matter of mastering certain technologies, but also understanding what uniquely is our human difference, both in our teams and as individuals, and how we bring that together when we're serving our clients.
Yeah, which makes makes complete sense. Is there any other aspect of this digital upskilling stuff that you want to talk about at PwC, or is the digital fitness and the accelerator program kind of the core of what you guys have going on?
You know, one connection I would make, just in the spirit of connecting dots, I spoke about this at our accelerator program in Orlando. Being an inclusive leader, there's a lot of discussion, isn't there, in tech broadly around diversity and inclusion. And this is something that's so important to us at PwC. It goes to the heart of our culture and our values and what we stand for. And we believe we've got a tremendous opportunity here to build a very inclusive agenda and make a point of investing in the development of leaders who are very inclusive and being explicit about that. And that's so important. It's important for our society, because it's simply the right thing to do, full stop. It's also important because the problems we face today, the challenges we have an opportunity of helping to solve, require all of our best thinking. There is no group that has a monopoly on ideas, on potential, and we see it. I mean, academic research actually does bear this out, but we see it every day that when we groups of people who are diverse, diverse backgrounds, perspectives, and we're able to harness that in a creative way, it's really when we're at our best and we're able to do our very best work. So we're explicit about that here, that being an accelerator isn't simply a matter of being a narrow technologist, but it's also being an influencer, being a leader, accelerating the development of our culture. So that means building an inclusive culture where everyone can fulfill their potential. Does that make sense?
Oh, of course. It makes complete sense. And I know you mentioned that you have around 1,000 or so digital accelerators, maybe a few more. Is the plan to have everyone go through this eventually?
Well, you know, the plan is for everyone to build digital acumen, and that journey will look a little different for all of us depending on our interests and our roles and our careers. So there's no cookie cutter here. But one thing that is common is the imperative for all of us to build our digital acumen. That's where assets like the app, the digital fitness app, come in, and other kinds of learning experiences that we're providing our people. And then, yeah, this is just the beginning of the accelerator program, the first cohort, and we're excited about continuing to build that and expand it.
And I'm certainly excited to see where all this goes as well. You mentioned automation, so of course I need to ask you about that. But it sounds like you're generally optimistic about the role that technology and automation is going to have because, as you mentioned, PwC, you do a lot of accounting, you do a lot of finance, and all the studies out there predict that those are the jobs that are at most risk of getting automated and disappearing. Are you seeing that inside of PwC? Are you guys losing people by the thousands?
No, we're not. We're hiring by the thousands. But of course, it's, you know, it's top of mind for our society. Almost on a daily basis, if you're reading, you're coming across either studies or debates, some, as I said, with very dystopian or even utopian perspectives, very divergent perspectives. We're bullish in the sense that what we see is an opportunity. It's about the human difference, right? So as we're able to automate work, it means our people can only do more and more challenging and interesting work at the same time. And it means we can collaborate in new ways. We talk a lot about one firm and bringing together diverse skill sets, learning from each other. So I think it's also part of that opportunity as well that I think is our people tell us is so enriching. So we are bullish, and I am personally bullish. Of course, there will be challenges for us as a society. It would be naive to think that wouldn't be the case. But that's been the case whenever there's economic disruption. And it goes to this fundamental point of not leaving anyone behind. Let me connect the dots here. You know, one of the things we're very invested in from a societal standpoint is something called Achieve Your Potential. We have a 5-year, $350 million commitment investing in tech upskilling, financial literacy, other areas. This is curriculum, teacher training. It's our people going out and working in schools and driving tech upskilling, for example, in underserved communities. I want to connect the dots there because I think it's never been more important for anyone, for any company, any organization to be more engaged in some of these broader societal challenges. So when we talk about digital upskilling, this isn't just an agenda for our firm or just the business community. This is an agenda for our society. And we have an obligation. We have a responsibility. And our people couldn't be more excited to be engaged, to have opportunities to make a difference in our communities as well. So it's a great example of where, you know, this discussion around digital upskilling, you know, it quickly takes us to the broader societal discussion.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Well, I have a couple of questions from LinkedIn that I wanted to ask you. But before I jump into that, maybe you can give your advice for individuals and also for organizations as a whole that are looking to digitally upskill their employees. So what can they learn from the work that you've been doing at PwC so that they can bring in some of those similar concepts and ideas and learnings to digitally upskill their employees? Well, what advice would you give people listening?
I would say, number one, this is an agenda for everyone. It's not about just a certain elite or some subset. In the 21st century, if we're going to be able to fulfill our potential as individuals, in teams, as businesses, it really needs to be an inclusive agenda for all of your people. It is for all of our people. And that's, I think, a very important point. Number two, it needs to be a personal agenda, right? So yes, we believe there's a baseline, a foundation of digital acumen that really we all need to possess as we move into this 21st century. But it also has to be a personalized and customized agenda depending on my role, my interests, and where I want to take my career. So I think that you know, creating a personalized experience is very important. I think making it fun, making it energizing, creating a social and community element to it is also extraordinarily important to accelerate learning, share practices, to create some energy. So it's not a solitary journey whatsoever. And that, I think, can be really beneficial for culture and cohesion. And then I think, you know, the last point I made, that we all have an obligation to not leave anyone behind in our society. That ties to diversity and inclusion, and it ties to driving, addressing this tech skills gap very broadly in our society as well. So we've, in the business community, we have, a special obligation. We benefit so much from our educational systems, and so much from our country. This is a critical area for us to be engaged as business leaders and to give back.
And as an individual, I suppose the message is don't wait and take charge and start doing this stuff yourself. We have access to so many tools and resources online that there's no reason why we can't start learning about things like blockchain now or data visualization. I think earlier, at the very beginning of the podcast, you mentioned that idea of accountability and responsibility. So I think that's a great thing for individuals to remember as well.
Yeah, I can't say that, emphasize that enough as well. I think that's, you know, we've all got to opt in. We all have to raise our hand. And if we're not, we should understand what we're opting out of, which in some respects is the future. No role, I don't think any career will really be left untouched by this digital revolution. So that can either be a source of excitement, curiosity. Yes, it also means I have to push myself and certainly not allow myself to be paralyzed or complacent.
Yeah, if a company like PwC is doing it, and I can only guess how many millions of dollars you guys are investing in this, then you know, there's really no excuse for other companies to not pay attention to this. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions from LinkedIn, because I put up online that I was going to talk to you, and I asked if people had any questions, and I got a bunch of questions from folks. So I wanted to ask you a few of those. One of them is from Inga Patton, and she asked actually a really, really good question that I keep hearing about a lot. And she said, how about those of us who are much older but also experienced and educated? Where and how do we fit in a relevant way?
Yeah, thanks, Inga. That's a great question. The agenda I've discussed has nothing to do with age, nothing. I've tried to emphasize the importance of approaching this with absolute inclusion, for example, across our workforce. And digital acumen is a lifelong endeavor. So sure, are there digital natives out there? Yes. But this is an agenda for all of us, and it's one where we're never done. So that's been the beauty of the digital fitness app. Sure, you know, we have to meet people where they're at, given their interests, their skill, their knowledge base. But even for those who have little background, whether they're, and that might be an entry-level employee in our firm or someone who's at a very advanced stage of their career, there's no barrier to starting. And I think that's it, is just finding the right entry, the right door to open, the right area of interest, whether that, you know, we've talked about some of those topics around digital fitness. So it might mean, so for example, if I'm really interested in design thinking, if that's really most relevant, maybe I'll never be a coder. Fine. The message is not that we all have to become software engineers. The message is we do all have to be digitally fit. And that's true at every stage of our career.
And it seems like if you work at PwC, you're fortunate that there isn't that kind of that ageism mentality. But I know a lot of organizations who have that kind of belief where it's like, if you're an older worker, you're just automatically perceived as being outdated and irrelevant, and it's time for you to go, and we got to bring in these younger workers. And it's a very unfortunate mentality to have, because I think, as Inge mentioned, there are a lot of older workers who are doing a very good job of staying relevant. They're smart, they're educated, they know how the business works, they know how to build these relationships. And companies don't do a good enough job of making sure that we retain those people instead of trying to encourage them to get out the door. So I love that your program isn't at all focused on age at all, which is of course nice. I actually have a question for you from a digital accelerator. And he said, and his name's Brian Morgan, he said, what can employees and employers alike do to facilitate clear and open communication during times of rapid change, like we have seen with technology over the past few years?
As well, everything has to evolve. So this is not just about innovating with new tools, but it's also about innovating how we work, how we communicate, how we collaborate, how we lead. So when I use that word culture, those are some of the things I'm talking about. And that's part of the exciting agenda that we're driving at PwC. So it does mean finding new ways within our teams to collaborate. Maybe that's reflected in applying agile methodology, for example. A lot of our teams have found that to be really effective in promoting both quality and speed in how we work, how we share ideas, how we collaborate. You know, it also means a different style of leadership. So it's not so much this centralized command and control, the leader has the answers, maybe just the exact opposite. Leading is about listening. It's about being humble. It's about tuning in to what others' needs are, their ideas, being very deliberate to being inclusive, making sure everyone's voice is heard around the table, and being self-aware. What are my blind spots? And asking others for feedback. So it's a great question, and I think it goes to the heart of our ability to learn and learn quickly, and to create a culture where people can really be at their best and fulfill their potential.
And if you're an employee, I guess that means speak up. If you want to know something, ask.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the opt-in part of it. That's the part where I have to take responsibility as well. And that's what's exciting, I think, about that shift I'm describing, because it means everyone has to have voice, and I have to take responsibility for having a point of view and for sharing it.
All right. I know we're almost out of time, so maybe I can squeeze in one or two more questions in there. This one's from Giselle, and she says, how can students prepare now for roles that will demand a higher level of strategic thinking? How can they position themselves as indispensable in parallel with the continued evolution of automation and technology? And this is specifically for students that are not in the workforce yet.
Yeah, I love the question. And I think it's twofold. It's doing really well at the task at hand, if you will. So the work that I'm doing, the role I have. But it's also being curious and asking bigger picture questions. And that sort of takes us to the human difference. What are the things that we can uniquely contribute in terms of creativity, innovation, teamwork, collaboration, service to others? So I think the other thing I would say is this model we have of education today has to evolve as well. This notion, well, I'm going to go and get a degree and I'm there for 4 years and then I'm done, or maybe I go to graduate school, then I'm done. I really believe, you know, the mindset today has already shifted. We recognize we have to be lifelong learners. We're never done. Education is going to follow that as well. And over time, you know, imagine kind of a quote unquote blockchain of verified skills that we accumulate, that we build over the course of our career. And I think that's really where the mindset comes in. That's also exciting, right? We're not done. We're building maybe a foundation as a student, a foundation of relationships too and experiences, but that we're also learning how to learn and be a good learner, an effective learner.
Yeah, I love that response. Do you still have time for maybe one or two more? Or are you?
I'm flexible. Thanks.
Oh, awesome. Okay, perfect. So the next question on LinkedIn came from Sushri, and she asked actually a really good question as well. And she kind of cheated and threw in several questions in here. And she basically said, in the era of digitalization, when skills are getting redundant around every 3 to 4 years, how does an individual work on getting themselves reskilled at such a fast pace? So if you're an employee at a company, how do you as an individual make sure that you can stay relevant and stay valuable? And what are some of the skills that you think are truly relevant, whether they're technology skills or soft skills? And the last part of the question was, with the focus on soft skills in the future, how do you differentiate yourself from your peers who have the same technical skills that you do when it comes to something like AI or robotics or machine learning? If somebody else knows just as much stuff about you, how do you differentiate yourself? So I know it's a kind of a three-part, so if you want me to repeat any of that, let me know.
Well, I'll do my best, the big question, but a couple quick thoughts here. So first, you're absolutely right. Specific skills related to the use of a given tool, for example. Well, tools will come and go. They will evolve. What are the things that I can do that really differentiate myself? And I think, you know, we really try to take a holistic approach at PwC. So that means making sure that I have self-awareness as a leader around my strengths, my style, my impact on others. That I'm humble, I'm listening to others, being inclusive. So, you know, really valuing diversity and being whether I'm a team member or a leader of a team, I'm working hard to create an inclusive environment where we can get the best contributions from each member of the team and that we deliberately value diversity. So I think that's a very important attribute. It goes along with having kind of a global mindset, working across cultures. Being curious, not just from a technical or technology perspective, but around business and innovation. Relationship skills, massive differentiator. So maybe we're equally adept at using certain tools, but am I able to communicate an insight crisply, creatively? Using storytelling, huge differentiator there. So being able to not only do an analysis, but also to crystallize an insight and to translate it in a way that it's easily digested, easily heard and understood, and to do it in a way that's, you know, within a team that is built on collaboration, empathy. Those are some of those unique human skills that I think will continue to be differentiators.
Couldn't agree more. I'm a big believer in those as well. All right, last question for you. And this, I think, is also a very good one. And it's kind of a debate that we've been hearing about quite a bit. And this one comes from Dennis. And he says he'd be very curious to hear how you balance the demands of professional services with employee work-life balance. Because it seems like a lot of new grads want workplace flexibility, they want to work from home, they want these flexible hours, and perhaps that isn't so easy to offer in a professional services firm. And so maybe, so we can address that, but it would also be really interesting to hear if you have anything else that you can share around what PwC as a company is doing broadly to attract and retain these potential employees, these graduates coming right out of school?
Great question. And by the way, what we've learned is those are flexibility, leading a full life. That's important really to all of our people. It's not, it really isn't prioritized by any particular segment or demographic. It's important to all of our people. We've done a lot of work in this area around our culture. And we started a conversation last year around well-being, physical well-being, mental well-being, emotional well-being, spiritual well-being in the sense of purpose in life. It's a conversation that, you know, we weren't used to some of those words, right, in the past. And what we learned around how do you achieve work life or a better balance, because of course, in any profession, it is demanding. There's no question. But that doesn't mean it has to be a burnout. It doesn't mean that you can't have a full life. And in fact, we want you to. And we know we also do our best work when I'm physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually well. So we've anchored that in our teams. So we actually created an app, a habit bank, to share practices that our teams have put in place to promote well-being and flexibility. We also use other apps that are out there to help our people. And we anchored it and said, listen, all of our come together and have a team plan around well-being. This is what I referenced earlier. Over 5,000 of our teams just last year all created team plans with measurable goals. And we had some fun with this. We had some competition. We awarded prizes. And we led from the front. Tim Ryan, our chairman, talks a lot about this. The habits he puts in place in his life, our leadership team, the same. So this is a real priority. This is a real priority for our firm and our people. And we've learned that there are ways of being well and working well, that it's also about working in ways that can be more effective, more mindful, more focused, that can help us achieve some of those other goals as well. So it's a priority for all of our people. And there is not a single answer. Our people work in so many different ways across different industries. So we've said, listen, here are some tools, resources. Each one of our teams, let's have a plan, let's hold ourselves accountable, and we're going to share what's working. And it's been amazing. I mean, we've had clients come to us and say, I'm feeling a real difference with the team, what's going on? It's fantastic. And by the way, how can we get some of that too? What are you doing? How could we work together to improve well-being? We'd like that for our people.
Well, it sounds like you're rubbing off on a lot of people there. PwC is a company. You're definitely leading the way in a lot of really cool stuff. And as I mentioned, I had the opportunity to speak with a lot of people, visit a lot of companies. And this program that you guys are doing at PwC is, I think, one of the most amazing things that I've seen. So huge congratulations to you, Tim, Sarah, the rest of your team that's launching this. I'm very, very excited to see what it'll look like in the next year and 2 years and 3 years and new versions of the app. And I wouldn't be surprised if of course your clients are also wanting this stuff themselves. Well, you've been very gracious with your time. We've went even over our time by a couple of minutes. But maybe to end, you can let people know, where can they go to connect with you, with PwC, anything that you want to share or mention for people to know?
Sure. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, as you might expect. Obviously, we have a digital presence around our firm that's very easy to access for PwC online. CEOAction.com goes to our diversity agenda, and it's a coalition of hundreds of CEOs now that have come together that we're part of and proud to be part of as well, that ties around inclusive leadership and diversity and some of the societal challenges we've touched upon as well.
Very cool. Well, Mike, Again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to speak with me. And am I going to see you in Orlando in October?
I believe so. I look forward to it.
Yeah, thank well, I'm looking forward to it as well. And thanks again for being a guest.
Thank you, Jacob. Have a great afternoon.
You too, and thanks everyone for tuning in. My guest again has been Mike Fenlon, the Chief People Officer at PwC, and I will see all of you next week. Hi everyone, it's Jacob. If you enjoyed this podcast and are interested in the future of work, make sure to sign up for my newsletter at thefutureorganization.com/newsletter. That will get you access to the episodes right when they go live, along with other resources such as videos and articles. And don't forget, if you're interested in employee experience, which by the way is a big part of the future of work, and if you want access to my free training series on this topic, then don't forget to check out employeeexperiencecourse.com. Again, that is employeeexperiencecourse.com. If you enjoy the podcast and find it valuable, please don't forget to rate it on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, and I will see you next week.